Every time a U.S. military person fires his or her weapon, they are taking a gamble that they can end up in Leavenworth.
Take a case like First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence.
I had dreamed of the time where I would become a platoon leader.
He was the hardest working soldier that ever worked for me.
Clint was very impressive. He was always well informed.
The military justice system can be manipulated.
Clint was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It was my job to get the guys back home safe.
Clint Lawrence's version of events are a lie.
It was an illegal order.
When his opportunity to shine came, he the bed.
You don't have a clue who my son is.
I was the Army scapegoat.
Was this someone who sought to do what was right, or is this someone who just disregarded procedures?
Well, that was the trailer for a movie called Leavenworth. And actually, what they're talking about is what we're going to talk about today. And that is that there are soldiers, American soldiers, languishing in Leavenworth right now for conduct during the so-called War on Terror. And because the feckless military under the leadership of Barack Obama, and I would say General David Petraeus, caused our soldiers to just become crazy, I think. That would be my position. We'll talk about it more today. But the rules of engagement were maddening. The things that they allowed the Islamists among them to do and prevented the soldiers from protecting themselves was crazy-making. And so there were a lot of incidents in the military. And then the Obama administration forced these soldiers to be flown back from the battlefield and tried in American courts, regular court, not military court. They even flew Afghans in to testify against them. So that's a little taste of what we're going to talk about today. And just so you know, what we're going to be angling for is that President Trump would pardon these guys, would pardon them. Given the circumstances they were fighting under and everything that was against them, they need to be pardoned. We're not even sure how guilty they are and of what, because it's very convoluted. It's an incredible story, and we will tell it today. This is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. And you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us, and I hope that you will, at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. afr.net is our home base. You can also go to my website, sandyrios.com, and listen. But Spotify, you know, Amazon, wherever you like to listen, you can listen. Also, you'll find us on all of the social media sites, Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, this is Sanctity of Life Month. With that in mind, we honor now the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe versus Wade. And sadly, since Roe was overturned, babies' lives are at an even greater risk because the abortion pill accounts for over 60% of abortions, making this tragedy available 24/7. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines. Preborn has rescued over 300,000 babies, with your help, I might add. And every day, on average, they rescue 200-plus babies. When a woman considering abortion hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her precious baby on ultrasound, her baby's chance of life is doubled. Preborn shares free heartbeats and God's love for mother and child, and they need our help. For just $28, the cost of a dinner for most of us, you can sponsor an ultrasound to introduce a mother to her baby for the very first time. And by the way, 100% of your donation goes towards saving the babies. If you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right. Well, today we're going to be talking specifically about Staff Sergeant Calvin Gibbs and Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, both life imprisonment at Leavenworth, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness.
that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
New tonight, President Trump pardons two soldiers with connections to Fort Bragg. They were accused of war crimes. Major Matthew Goldstein, who you see there on the left, accused of killing a suspected bomb maker who was not a legal threat. Prosecutors said Army First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, who's on the right, illegally ordered the fatal shooting of two men in Afghanistan in 2012.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, the subject today is going to be this whole business of soldiers who served under President Barack Obama, who is, of course, the person who is in charge of all the military. The rules of engagement changed while he was president, and our guys and girls were fighting over in the war on terror. And as a result of the choices that some of them made, they were brought back here to be tried as almost like civilians. And many of them were sentenced then to Leavenworth, where they have been confined for years and some for life. And so it's time to revisit this. You heard already that President Trump has pardoned a few of them, and we'll hopefully get into that. But there are those that believe that all of them should be pardoned, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, Suzanne White is not only a Louisiana Republican State Central Committee woman, and that's a really important role that she plays. She's also a grassroots activist with AmnestyForWarriors.com. And in addition to that, she is a listener to American Family Radio. And I met her at one of our conferences, I believe it was in Arkansas, a couple of years ago. And Suzanne brought this whole situation about these guys languishing in Leavenworth to my attention. And so she's the champion on this. I respect so much what she's done. And I've asked her to join us this morning to talk about some of these guys, help us to get acquainted, what happened, and what we can do to help. Suzanne, thank you for joining us this morning.
Sandy, I just want to say on behalf of USDB Leavenworth prisoners 91675 and 89266, Staff Sergeant Bob Bales, Calvin Gibbs, and their families and their supporters, we just want to thank you so much for this priceless opportunity to share their plight and bring this, you know, to your listening audience, who I know they're such patriots, and they would care about these men if they knew them the way I do, and they know their situation, so that we can get proactive and get them freed.
Yes, well, I'm predisposed to be their defenders, because I remember when the rules of engagement were changed during the war on terror under Petraeus. They did the most ridiculous things over there. Ridiculous. This is not related, but I'll just give this as an illustration to help people understand. Petraeus ordered American soldiers on the compounds, the American compounds, who were working with Afghans and other, I'll just pick on the Afghans for a moment. They were there in the air base for their own protection, and at night, this is very gross, but it is practice by Muslim men to rape little boys. They just do that, even that they have families, wives, but they like little boys. And so the soldiers would hear these little boys screaming at night, and they would try to intercede and try to do something about it. And guess what they were told? They were told by Petraeus that they could not interfere. This was a practice, and it's their custom, and so we can't interfere with their customs. And so that's how ridiculous things got for our soldiers, who were our guys, who grew up differently, who don't tolerate that. They were subjected to a military leadership that was out of their minds. That's all I can say. So that translates to the rules of engagement. And Suzanne, maybe you're, I know something about it, but could you just kind of describe the circumstances under which a lot of this happened to these soldiers?
Certainly, Sandy. Well, of course, and now as we move out further and further from the war, and more comes out about what went on, it really is, it's just, I mean, unbelievable. Some of the things that our soldiers, the things that went on that just destroyed morale, you can just imagine. Well, starting with Obama-Biden's feckless, reckless military policies called, you know, hearts and minds. Hearts and minds, basically. You know, we're going to make the enemy like us. We're going to go over there and we're going to give them candy and give them mom candy. We're going to make these people like us. How absurd is that? And rules of engagement like the law of proportional force, you know, weapons used by American forces to retaliate against the Taliban couldn't be more powerful than those used against our troops. I mean, how do you think General Patton would have felt about that? You know, it was basically don't shoot until you're blown up first.
Yes. What you're saying is true. Don't shoot unless they're shooting at you. Here they are in these villages fighting hand to hand, you know, going around corners with their guns, and they can't shoot when they see someone. It was horrific. And I just think we need to lay the groundwork with that. So out of that came so many situations that created confusion and brought death. And I think that brings me to the story of Sergeant Robert Bales, which I know he's one of the people that you are defending. He's known as America's most notorious war criminal. So what I'm going to do here, Susanna, is I'm going to play a clip which lays out, rightly or wrongly, what he's accused of doing, and I'll let you then make an amendment to that and tell us what the story is. This is the story of the trial for Robert Bales and the results of it. Let's listen.
Right now, a local soldier is headed to prison. No chance of parole. A military jury has just sentenced Staff Sergeant Robert Bales. He admits to killing 16 Afghan villagers, many of them kids, last year, and yesterday speaking out in court, calling his own actions an act of cowardice. The 40-year-old went to Norwood High School. Back in June, he pleaded guilty to this massacre in a deal to avoid the death penalty.
Yeah, Robert Bales showed no emotion as the verdict was announced today at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, that's south of Seattle. WLWT News 5's Jackie Canjado is leading the way tonight with the breaking details in this case. Jackie?
Mike and Cherie, as you mentioned, Robert Bales played football here for Norwood High School back in the 90s, and people who knew him at the time just cannot make sense of how this happened. And Robert Bales himself has never offered an explanation for why he went on that killing mission. Yesterday, he took the witness stand and apologized. Before that, the jury heard testimony from 9 Afghans flown in for the trial, including one man who lost 6 of 7 children, as well as his wife and mother. Bales went on the rampage through 2 poor villages in Kandahar. Despite Bales' sentence of life without parole, the victims do not think that's enough.
I have a request from the American people that there should be an accountability. Even if somebody shoots a sheep, they have to answer why was the sheep shot. In our country, humans are being shot, humans are being imprisoned, and yet you can't ask. There's no justice, there's no ramification for that.
Bales is a father of 2. He was on his 4th tour overseas. His lawyers have said that he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and from a traumatic brain injury, and his mother was sitting in the front row today. She bowed her head and cried as that verdict was read. Reporting live in Norwood tonight, Jackie Canjado, WLWT News 5.
All right, so that's the report of what happened at the trial. I just want to make a couple of observations before I let Suzanne start to tell us what her perspective is on this. But first of all, American soldiers in battle, whether it's World War II or Korea, whatever, they do kill people. They kill people. And generally speaking, if there's a dispute, these things are handled within military courts because military men understand they have different rules. They don't abide by the same laws we do because they're killing people. American courts are not set up for that. But we're bringing soldiers, they were bringing them back from the battlefield, charging them with murder and other crimes, and flying in 9 Afghanis to testify against him. And so in our court system, swearing them, I guess, on the Bible, I suppose, to tell the truth. So I'm already have a problem with this. But Suzanne, I don't know that Robert is innocent. I don't know if that's your point even. But please fill in the blanks here. What happened with Robert Bales that you know?
Oh, goodness. Just to sit and listen to that. Oh, my goodness. You know, we could be here for a very long time discussing all the details. But let me just tell you, yes, you know, Robert is an all-American patriot. He was a born leader from Ohio. Yes, he was a football player, living the American dream, you know, had a passion for caring for handicapped people. He was took care of a handicapped neighbor for years. I mean, that is the kind of person that he was and is. And he joined the Army later in life. He was like 28 after 9/11 because he wanted to go serve his country. And so, you know, he was a, many testified to what a leader he was, like a father to so many of the soldiers because of the fact he was older and more mature and experienced. And he was a decorated infantry soldier. He did serve 4 combat tours, despite the fact that on his last deployment, he was suffering traumatic brain injury as a result of surviving 10 IED attacks. So the Army did force him to take mefloquine, which is an anti-malarial drug that should never be given to anyone with TBI. And it's interesting, after Bob's imprisonment, the Army no longer administers or forces soldiers to take that drug. Isn't that interesting? So just as we said before, so you take, you know, any one of us put in that situation in the hotbed of the Taliban, the worst combat zones on the planet, and you're seeing your fellow friends, your fellow troops, soldiers being blown up, when you know where the enemy is, we can go get them, stand down. They're coming at us. We can shoot. We can take them out. Stand down. Time after time after time, and watching this go on, what that would do to somebody. And again, you know what it would take to take them out. And so, yes, and actually, Bob admitted to killing 20, not just 16. He went into this village as a preemptive strike. Now, you can either say he was crazy, or you could say he was the bravest man that ever lived. He was tired of seeing this happen. He knew these guys were going to be coming after his soldiers. So he went in and he took them out. And of course, there was collateral damage. He says, you know, there did include some women and children. And that's very unfortunate and regrettable, which he feels terrible about. But of course, we know that the bad guys always hide themselves behind women and children. So we don't know that that wasn't part of the plan. But here's the deal. I mean, there was never any bodies recovered from that village. So we don't even know who was killed. The Afghan army went in to try to recover bodies, and they started getting shot at, and one of them even was killed. So they, and then meanwhile, villagers, yes, Robert Bales killed my niece. Oh, 50,000 for you. Yes, you know, he killed my brother. Yes, yes, okay, money for you. Yeah, so they were rewarded for claiming, you know, what do you call it, compensation for these so-called, you know, victims' deaths. And isn't it interesting, too, you know, collateral damage. I mean, there's been drone attacks in Afghanistan and wedding parties where, you know, 60 people are taken out, 30 people taken out, whatever, including women and children. But to get one guy, you know, that's what it takes. You know, this is war. This is war. So that is the scenario. And
okay.
Robert Bales was basically forced. He was coerced into an incomplete confession. I mean, he just knew that he wasn't going to be able to fight this. I mean, they were coming. And the fact that the U.S. government flew in Taliban terrorists to testify against him, put him on a commercial Delta airline, flew them over here to testify against a U.S. soldier. Since when do we take the Taliban's word against a U.S. soldier? You know. And DNA evidence has shown those guys were terrorists. So how it's just unbelievable that this
I would
happen.
Like to say, well, and I wish I could report that this only happened to one person, but there's a whole host of people at Leavenworth, and I have talked to some of them before I met you, Suzanne, at least one of them, a young black guy who was just he's now working in D.C. because he's got such great character, but he has a conviction on his record for
Derek
his life.
Miller.
Yes, Derek
Miller. You did a wonderful interview with Derek, and oh, what a day that was to see him walk out of that prison after his horrifically unjust incarceration. I think he lost 8 years of his life he'll never get back.
Exactly.
As you said, he's gone on to just live a very productive life on Capitol Hill and is doing great and a father to his children, and praise God for that. He's a great man.
Suzanne, do you have an idea of how many soldiers we're talking about at Leavenworth that are still there?
You know, Sandy, I really couldn't tell you. There's just been so many different cases, and there are also other prisons. I'm good friends with Nick Slatton, one of the Army specialists that was working for the contractors in Iraq that were fired upon, defended themselves.
In a convoy.
That was hit under Bush.
Yes.
And, of course, Bush declared them, you know, it was self-defense. And then Biden comes back and says, we want them charged with murder. And so Nick went to prison, and then, praise God, Trump pardoned him. You know, there's case after case, as you said, you know, of these situations. So I couldn't tell you how many, but, oh, my gosh, you know. Leavenworth was full, I can assure you, when Obama was commander-in-chief.
Let's go back to Robert Bales, because just give us a timeline here, because I really don't have it in my head. When was he tried? I guess I could start with that. When was he tried? Do you remember? I'm sure you do.
It was around 2012. It was in, this all went down in 2012.
Okay. So has he been in prison in Leavenworth since like 2012?
Oh, yes. And Calvin Gibbs, who were also... talking about today, Calvin's been in there. He just turned 40. He's been in there 15 years. And he wasn't even present for the murders he's charged with. And the soldiers who confessed to killing civilians, they're all pretty much out. One of those ringleaders, he'll be out pretty soon. And Calvin's going to be in there for life. I mean, does that make any sense?
Suzanne, let's pause for a second, because there was a movie made, I believe it's the Kill Team movie, which came out, which is Calvin is allegedly part of this. And I want to play that because I think it will help people to sort of understand then we'll talk about exactly about Calvin too. This is clip 8. Let's listen.
Being a part of something like this is a tremendous thing. I'm proud of you.
Morning, Sergeant.
Gentlemen,
whoever's making these has an answer for the deaths of 24 American soldiers in the past 12 months. And every day we don't find them is another day an American soldier could come home in pieces. Who wants to make a difference?
Hey, Dad.
Things are really taking off for me.
Study like a coach.
Bloody.
Caveman.
So, gentlemen, what's the play?
Relationship building, Sergeant.
Is he serious?
Now, who's ready to have some fun?
I just keep thinking about that kid that we killed today.
What, you think it's wrong?
Yeah, I do.
You killed one of theirs, you saved 10 of ours. You're telling me that's not right? You think that man was innocent?
He didn't deserve to die.
They're cooperators.
Andrew, tell me what's going on.
You know that anything that happens out here stays in the family.
Hey, Briggsy, do me a favor. Go get the targets.
You think we're gonna shoot you or something?
You're trying to do what you think is right. The problem is, you don't even know what right means.
Leave me alone.
You are alone.
Andrew?
I don't know what to do anymore.
Do I do the right thing and put myself in danger? Or do I just shut up and deal with it?
You give me your loyalty, and I guarantee that each and every one of you will have a chance to be a warrior. To actually be a part of history.
Ready on three. 3, 2, 1.
All right, that's the trailer for the movie Kill Team. Now, look, this is war. So I'm sure you get as many different stories from people. It's just like World War II. It's when war happens, there's so much confusion. It's really impossible to get one narrative that's right. It's kind of like J6. It depends on where you're standing and which part of the building you're in. But so I'm not recommending Kill Team the movie. I don't know, because I don't know what's true. But I do know this. I do know that under Barack Obama, the military turned against their own men and punished them for crimes, the alleged crimes on the battlefield that they probably didn't commit, or circumstances were such that there was so much confusion, and now they are sent to Leavenworth for life, and that includes Staff Sergeant Calvin Gibbs. Suzanne, tell us about him, because we haven't really even talked about him. He's another one you represent.
Yes, Calvin, let me tell you, he is a great guy. Calvin is a native of Montana. He's from a proud Mormon family with a multi-generational history of military service. And he also joined the Army after, you know, witnessing the horrors of 9/11, like so many of them. And he had 8 years of honorable service. He did multiple combat tours himself. He was awarded an Army Commendation, Achievement Medals. And Calvin was one of those guys that, you know, others would tease him that, like, he looks like the recruiting poster guy. You know, he just had that look about him. But he was convicted in 2011 of 3 counts of premeditated murder while he was on a combat deployment in Afghanistan, to which he pleaded not guilty. And his case was the most egregious, is that there was actually exonerating evidence by a fellow soldier that one of those murders was an act of self-defense. He and the other guy were attacked by an enemy combatant with an AK-47 firing at them, and they fired back. The guy died, and that's murder, according to, I guess, Barack Obama's rules of engagement. And the other two, it is kind of a complex situation, but again, this ring of soldiers, junior soldiers, that Calvin wasn't even affiliated with, and the judge even referred to him as drug users, liars, and murderers that colluded against Calvin to save their own hides and get lesser sentences or took plea deals to testify against him. So they were given lenient sentences while, you know, again, Calvin was given a life sentence. The ringleader was Jeremy Morlock. He confessed to the murders, and he got 24 years. So, and you know, Cindy, when I'm listening to you play that movie, and I did not watch that movie. I don't need to watch that movie. I know the facts of the case, but I try to imagine what it must be like to be sitting in prison and something like that gets put out, not to mention the mainstream media. Google any of them. All you're going to get is murder, murder, murders. And you have no way of sharing the truth of your stories. You have no voice. And the frustration that builds up, and the hopelessness. And I'll tell you this, Sandy, when I first met Calvin through the mail, we start writing, what have you, he mailed me a 25-chapter rough draft manuscript. He wrote a book of his experiences in battle, in combat, and in Iraq and Afghanistan. It was so interesting because it came to me, you know, and typed on one of those cryptic dinosaur typewriters from the 1940s or something, you know, with the misspellings and imperfect grammar. I mean, it was just him talking about what he saw, what he witnessed, what he heard, and then what he was thinking. Not to mention this manuscript blows the lid off some of the just most unbelievable incompetence and corruption that was going on, and some of the abuses of our infantrymen that I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, as I read this, I was dumbfounded by it. It's my understanding that a publisher has taken this on, and this could possibly publish next year. And I hope it does, because now it's raw, it's gritty, it's war. It can be hard to read. There's violence, profanity, an ancient grandmother Sunday school manual. but it gave me and I'm like you, Sandy, I watch a lot of war movies. I do read a lot of war books. I had never read anything about this, and just the kind of things that they were thinking, and again, some of the things that were done to our soldiers. When you think about it, World War II went on for 4 years. The Afghan War went on for 20 years. Well, why is that? Because people were benefiting from the war. They were enriching themselves from it at the expense of our infantrymen. You know, they didn't care about Calvin and getting Bob being blown up 10 times, they could care less. You know, they have stock in a company that on a radar they're carrying out there in the desert in 130 degrees heat. You think they care about our soldiers? So ending the war or winning it for that matter. And so the soldiers knew that. They knew that was going on. And what do you think that would do to their morale, to their psyche?
It's a nightmare.
For any behavior. I am not. I just want to set the scene for what they were fighting amidst.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Suzanne. I hear you. It's just sickening to me, the whole thing. So out of this comes this mess, and these guys are the ones that have taken the brunt of this, as you said. So Calvin is life sentence? And how about Robert?
Calvin is life with supposedly the possibility of parole. But, oh, man, I tell you, I have sat in those parole. I've testified, actually, in those parole hearings. It is such a joke. I'm really hoping Pete Hegseth will change the bureaucrats in the parole. You're just jumping through the hoops. They have no interest in really knowing the truth or whether someone is rehabilitated or whether they're, you know, they're not going to let them out. They're not. So until we get a change in that that department.
How about Robert Bales?
No possibility for all. He's in there for life and no possibility for all. Right.
Okay, so that comes. That brings us to what we started with, and that is pardons. President Trump has already pardoned one of these guys. This is back when he was in office the first time, and that's First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, and that's a whole, he was part of that, allegedly part of that kill team system too. That's the allegation. And so he's been paroled or whatever he got, pardoned, I guess. So pardoned is what I meant to say. So you guys are really, you've got these pardon, these parole treatises all written out ready to present to President Trump. Has he gotten them yet? Have you managed to get them to him?
So here's where we are, Sandy. We have definitely been, Bob and Calvin and Bob's wife and family, we've all been, you know, everybody's been working very hard on getting the packets completed and everything signed off on, and we are at that point. And so now I had the great opportunity, God-given opportunity, to attend the convention last summer, the RNC convention, as an alternate delegate, which gave me access to the floor, and I invited Bob's brother to come and his wife to come with me. And we worked that week like nothing else, making contacts. It gave us access to so many people face-to-face. And we set up this website, amnestyforwarriors.com, that has a letter that can be shared with President Trump when you go on the website. And we created a flyer. We call it the Rotten Forgotten Flyer, the Rotten Terrorists and the Forgotten Soldiers on there. And if you go to amnestyforwarriors.com, you can actually access the flyer and print it off. And share it with people. And it urges President Trump to please pardon these soldiers his first day in office. So we did that. We made contacts. And, of course, we had a lot of positive feedback and offers of help. It's just, it was always, well, we've got to get Trump in there. Well, first we've got to get Trump in there. Well, okay, well, now Trump's in there. So now we have to go back to these folks and remind them of their offers of help. But can we ask our audience a little bit of help with something we're doing?
No, absolutely. That's besides just informing them. Absolutely. And so let me just say amnestyforwarriors.com, amnestyforwarriors.com. And I'm holding the flyer in my hand. The rotten is a picture of Taliban, fighters. And then the forgotten are the soldiers raising the flag. And this is what it says. The U.S. government freed thousands of Taliban terrorists while still imprisoning brave American combat warriors for so-called war crimes. Please, President Trump, on January the 20th, 2025, grant amnesty to U.S. combat warriors in Leavenworth who fought the war on terror. So here's the thing they can do for sure is sign the letter, right, Suzanne?
Absolutely. They can share the letter. And you
and
just cut, paste, share it on that website, And then this is your audience's assignment for today, should they choose to accept it. I had a very productive, one of the best conversations at the convention with House Speaker Mike Johnson, who, of course, is from my home state of Louisiana. And I had every reason talking to him, believe he had seen that flyer before I even met him. So he'd seen it, and I met his beautiful wife, Kelly. They both expressed distress over this whole situation, felt it was horrible. And I looked him face to face, and I said, please, Speaker Johnson, I said, President Trump respects you. He will listen to you. Please, I'm begging you to speak on behalf of these soldiers, urge him to free them. And while he did not promise me he would do that, he heard me. And so what I feel that our best opportunity is that if every audience member calls his office, and I can give you the number, his D.C. office at 202-225-4000. That's 202-225-4000. And whoever answers the phone, or you may be asked to leave a message, say, please, House Speaker Mike Johnson, urge President Trump to free Staff Sergeant Robert Bales and Calvin Gibbs. Please free them. And if you talk to someone and they don't know anything about it, don't be surprised. They probably won't. They'll probably say, who is that? Please urge them to go to amnestyforwarriors.com, where they can get the facts and why we're asking for their freedom. Don't get discouraged. Just you know, because, again, it was interesting. When I was at the convention, I went to the Ohio – Robert Bales is from Ohio. And I went to the Ohio delegates, and I was like, hey, did you realize that you have a resident of Ohio who's rotting in prison for life, as a result of all the things I've told you? And they'd never heard of him, never heard of him. I'm like, you know, if you're from Ohio, you should be fighting for this guy. Same for Calvin, Montana. If your listeners, if you're from Montana, one of your residents has got a life sentence unjustly. So just challenge, but I would challenge Mike Johnson. And certainly you can call your own congressman. That would be wonderful. But I think if we bombard the office of Mike Johnson, I really think that he, if he hasn't already spoken to him, I saw him at the Army-Navy game the other day with Trump up in the stands or what have you, and I was just praying, Lord Jesus, let that conversation be had, please. And because that's where those kind of talks are usually held, is in social situations, and that's what we're praying for in this scenario, too, that it could happen that way.
Suzanne, I know God has laid this on your heart, and you have just such a winsome way about it. And I appreciate you bugging me about it. And I don't mean that unkindly. I mean, because I have so many things that come at me. I have to be pressed sometimes. And I do care deeply about this stuff. I do care. You know, I do. So I'm grateful for your aggressiveness with me, but your urgency, because you know me and you knew I would care if I just stop and listen. So thank you for doing that. And I think God's going to hear your prayers. I do. Let me give Speaker Mike Johnson's number again. It's 202-225-4000. That's 202-225-4000. And she's right. Just ask him to ask President Trump to pardon Calvin Gibbs and Robert Bales in Leavenworth. And if you can't remember those words, go to amnestyforwarriors.com, and the flyer is right there. And we'll give you the words, and that will help you to kind of formulate your thoughts on it. And if they hear from enough people, and this is, you know, we're not talking about enemies here. These are friendly people at the other end of that phone. So this is not a hard call to make. Suzanne, have I left anything out? Is there anything else you want to say?
Oh, Sandy, there's just so much I could say. I just want people to know that Calvin and Bob, they are wonderful people. They really are. They're good men, and they love our country. Even despite what's happened to them, they love our country. And, you know, the bottom line, what makes this the most egregious, if you get pushback from anyone about this, just remember, thousands of Taliban, if they had served in the Taliban rather than the U.S. Army, they'd be free today. Because thousands, all the Taliban are free. They were freed as part of the Doha Peace Agreement and all that. So, yeah, if Taliban, they'd be free. But they served in the U.S. Army, and as a result, they're in prison. Not to mention who all else has been pardoned that we've seen recently that, oh, my gosh, you know, and we're going to let these men remain there? I just don't think so, you know. Please, Lord, come and intervene for these men and their families. Yeah. Their families are just such great Americans as well. They just, And they always say, tell Sandy, we just appreciate her. Thank you so much.
Well, tell them I appreciate their sacrifice. I really do. You know, sometimes I think sacrifice is hard to understand, but I believe that God, you know, God sees when he sees every injustice, and there will be justice. There will be justice, whether it's in this lifetime or the next. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of those that have perpetrated this upon these guys. So, Suzanne, I appreciate. Again, Suzanne is a Louisiana Republican State Central Committeeman. She's also a volunteer with AmnestyForWarriors.com, and that's in her defense of Calvin Gibbs and Robert Bales and others, too, who are there. And so we just thank her for that, and thank you for bringing it to our attention. And if you want to call Mike Johnson, it's 202-225-4000, and ask him to encourage President Trump to give a full pardon to these men languishing in Leavenworth. Thank you, Suzanne, so much. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked,
Suzanne,
to
that was
learn
great.
They are
so
personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As you're listening to this podcast, and again, Sandy Rios, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to saving babies with preborn in a bigger way. It's a tax-deductible donation, and one of $5,000, for instance, would sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And that usually saves the average of 200 babies. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, when you think about how that money would be spent. And they do have an incredible track record of saving babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. And, of course, if that's too much money for you, $28 provides one ultrasound. So whatever you can afford, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Afghanistan, 2012. Staff Sergeant Robert Bales was leading a squad of American infantrymen in a region known as the birthplace of the Taliban. He was on his fourth tour of duty and considered to be an elite soldier until one night, for some reason, Bales left his combat outpost, walked to two nearby villages, and opened fire. All told, 16 Afghan civilians were killed that night. Many of them were children.
Robert Bales is a murderer.
It's straight up a war crime.
Hearing the name Robert Bales sends chills down my spine.
The reaction from the U.S. government was swift and severe, provoking universal condemnation and a life sentence in Fort Leavenworth Correctional Barracks, military prison. Since then, the story of Robert Bales has faded from the public eye. Until now.
Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I am wrong. But you have to understand the way it went down.
Over the years, we've conducted a series of exclusive interviews with one of America's most notorious war criminals. They paint a complex portrait of a man changed by the global war on terror.
Nobody joins the army after September 11th to be the bad guy. You know, the idea of hurting a kid, of killing a kid. Come on.
Questions remain around Bales' mindset and motivations that fateful night. Questions he seeks to answer.
It comes into question, how could anyone do that? How could I go that far off track? And then I relive those days, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I was still alive to do that.
The War Within, the Robert Bales story, is an investigative podcast that unpacks one of the most controversial events in American military history. You'll hear from soldiers who served on that deployment.
I get woken up very early in the morning, and it's like, everybody get up, go to your battle station, someone is missing.
Robert Bales' fiercest defenders.
He thought he saw the Taliban getting ready to attack.
My goal is to get him home, right, so that we can be a family.
His biggest detractors.
He committed brutal atrocities on us. He took my whole family away from me.
And experts who uncover explosive information on this polarizing case.
Bales' deployment is merely a symptom of a broken army, scraping the bottom of the barrel and sending injured and ill service members overseas.
It's all here in 12 episodes that will be both gripping and revealing.
I understand why I'm here. I know. Because my nightmares tell me every day.
All right, that's from a podcast called The War Within. It's on iHeart, so that you might find that interesting. But that's just part. They did several episodes on Robert Bales. But I thought that you'd find that interesting. And I've asked Bruce to join me because he'll have some thoughts. We talk about the military a lot. Both of our dads served, and lots of people in our lives have served. And Bruce, of course, served in the FBI for 24 years. And so, Bruce, and you served with a lot of military men in the FBI, didn't you, honey?
I did, and I can tell you that they were the most squared away people I ever served with.
They were Vietnam veterans at the time.
A lot of Vietnam veterans, yeah. Who I didn't quite understand when I first went in because the Vietnam vets had taken a bad rap from the press. And then I got to meet them personally and work with them, and they were the leaders.
All right. So I know what I think, and I've said a lot about what I think, but I want to know what you think about this, Bruce.
Well, I think it just shows that our government, our military, has never learned from Vietnam. What I see in this is there's two things that I think drive a lot of this. Number one is we did it in Vietnam and we continued this in the Middle East, is these rules of engagement. They are unclear. They put our people in danger. And what they do is, The way the people that write them act is that, oh, this is going to restrain our people, so they only respond when there is danger. But what it actually does is it puts our guys in so much enhanced danger that they end up feeling like they have to take matters into their own hands to protect themselves. And it's like, I can't wait for this guy to shoot at me, because when he does shoot at me or my people, we're all going to be dead and it's going to be too late. So they violate the rules. The other thing is having people, what we would call within the wire or within the green zone, that you know are bad guys and are aligned with the enemy. In Vietnam, it was people that were aligned with the Viet Cong. They were allowed to work inside the American bases doing food preparation, many chores. But really what they were doing is gathering intelligence for the Viet Cong and sending it and giving it over to them. Same thing in Afghanistan. I saw this when I went there on a 30-day deployment with the FBI, and it made me insane. The U.S. government has rules within embassies and military complexes that certain percentages of the people that are hired to do the administrative jobs within the embassy or within the military base must be from the local population.
Even though you're at war.
Even though we're at war.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that there is no way to vet people properly to determine their backgrounds, to determine their allegiances. Records are non-existent, basically, in the Middle East as far as birth, school. Most people have not gone to school. So what our government does is they rely on the tribal leader or the government official who vouches for everybody. Oh, I know him. He's a good guy. Well, that's not the way we need to handle our business.
No, and you know one other thing that struck me, Bruce? They were in one of those clips that we played. These guys are in the battlefield. It's a movie. It's a replaying of what they think happened. And they're laughing about killing when he says, I like it bloody. And he's talking about his steak that they're fixing. But the implications are that they're laughing about death. And it just occurred to me, I know this because I've been married to you. And I know because of talking to you and other policemen and nurses that and doctors, for that matter, that people in those professions, when they are together, laugh about things that most people would never laugh about. They find things humorous. You find things humorous when you were doing FBI investigations that you could never share with other people because you have to become hardened and you get a sense of humor about the tragedy that you're watching. Same way with nurses and doctors. Would you say that's accurate, honey?
Yes, I would. It's hard to explain to people, so even us talking about it may not make it clear to people, but you have to kind of harden up, kind of get a crust over yourself, because it doesn't mean you become a bad person.
Or that you don't care.
Or that you don't care.
No.
Or that you're going to do something wrong. It just means that you kind of have to let it go a little bit, and the way you let it go is to maybe make a joke about it or just to,
it eases the tension, doesn't it?
Shake your head at the irony. You know, a lot of it is the irony in the situations. And, I thought your guest brought up a great point in people that are in the military-industrial complex that are making huge sums of money off continuing these wars. They don't care. Many of them don't care about the guys that are actually on the ground fighting the war. What they care about is that their government contracts keep coming to their companies. They keep making exorbitant fees. You know, we've seen it with this drone controversy. You know, we have these drones flying over our military bases. And with all our firepower and all our deductive equipment, we can't get a straight answer as to what are these drones? And are they dangerous? And a lot of that is being laid at the feet of the way we fight wars in the United States is we produce aircraft, we produce fighting vehicles, we produce things that cost a lot of money. And they are effective at doing what we need them to do. But now we're in a different hemisphere. And these drones and things are not things that are going to be fought with these high-cost weapons. And so it's going to upset the military-industrial complex and who's getting contracts and how much they're for. And, you know, we don't like to think that our government would actually put people at risk based upon dollar amounts, but it happens.
Well, the truth is that the country is only as strong as its people, and we do get the leaders that we deserve. I learned that a long time ago when Bill Clinton was elected for the second time. I was just in shock when I was on the air in Chicago, but it really was, it said something about us as a people that we would vote knowing what his character, we did that. And so now we've come to a brand new place where our military, our government really does reflect us. There's a few good, really good people and a lot of bad ones. And so this is what we have. Our military is a result of that. So are the soldiers. I'm not talking about Robert Bales and the other guy, but they're still, it seems to me, the really good guys are the ones that pay the biggest price.
Well, and that's what you see. You always see it seemingly that the people that are fighting our wars on the ground, they're back for their third, fourth, fifth deployment. They've gone through, as like Robert Bales, gone through 10 IED attacks. They have problems. They've seen death over and over, yeah. And they've seen the stupidness of the commanders in many cases that are parroting the administration's wants.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I don't like doing this show because I don't want people to come away thinking that our fighting men are murderers. They're not murderers. They protect us, and they do what they have to do sometimes. And it doesn't, sometimes that's not palatable to people back in Washington, D.C., who are playing the game, I would call it,
right.
Of trying to, sanitize war.
Right. They never get their hands dirty. But, all right, well, that's a good discussion, honey. And I think, let me repeat that if you'd like to help, and I hope that you will, go to Amnesty for Warriors, amnestyforwarriors.com. You can get the flyer, and you can pass it on and sign the letter. And let's just build kind of a grassroots interest in this so that it sets the groundwork for President Trump, hopefully, God willing, to give these guys pardons. So go to amnestyforwarriors.com. Well, honey, thank you for joining me, and thank you all for listening today. I want to thank our Timothy Plan because they allow you to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN, 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Sweetheart, thank you for joining me today.
It was really my honor.
Okay, and thank you all for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.